Last week we gathered here, the world celebrated Easter, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday. You know, the time Jesus overcame death, we talked about last week that the resurrection truly is the foundation of the Christian faith. Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity. You and I should not even be talking about this if Christ Jesus did not rise from the dead. It is the foundation of Christianity. It is the foundation of our faith. You see, the disciples, I talked to you last week, they did not expect Jesus to rise from the dead. They were not ready for it. They did not expect the empty tomb. But something changed about them. Something drastically changed. Their lives were transformed because they saw the risen Jesus. They saw Jesus. It wasn't the empty tomb. Remember, they did not believe the testimony of the women when they told them, "We cannot find the Lord." And they have forgotten that he told them that he was going to rise from the dead. One of the greatest things that I always talk about when it comes to resurrection is that if Jesus had not appeared to the disciples, again, you and I would not be talking about this today. If Jesus had not appeared to the disciples, their sadness would never turn into joy. So he began to appear to the disciples, and that's interesting because we read about that in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They wrote an account to let us know that Jesus did appear to his disciples. They saw the risen Christ. He even ate with them, hang out with them, and the disciples were different men. Now in John 16 through 20, I want to read that text because John already has said, Jesus predicted that he was going to disappear for a while and then come back. But the disciples missed it. In John 16, verse 16 through following, Jesus said, "In a little while you will see me no more. And then after a little while you will see me." Some of the disciples said to one another, What does he mean by saying, "In a little while you will see me no more. And then after a little while you will see me"? And because I am going to the Father. They kept asking, "What does he mean by a little while?" We don't understand what he's saying. Jesus saw that they wanted to ask him about this, so he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I mean when I say, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me'? I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices." That happened, didn't it? Friday, when Jesus was crucified, "You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices." The Gentiles were rejoicing. The chief priests, religious leaders, and even the Romans were rejoicing. And then Jesus goes on, "You will grieve and your grief will turn to joy." And then he uses the example of a woman that woman is in labor. You know, after the baby's born, she forgets all about the pain that she went through. "You will weep and mourn, but your sadness, your sorrow will turn into joy." And that's exactly what happened after they saw Jesus resurrected from the grave. Jesus began to appear, and I want to take the account from John today in the 20th chapter. So you see how he appeared to them. In John 20, the Bible says that Jesus appeared to the disciples, and the disciples, you know, one time Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples. So they were so joyous, they were so happy, and they said, "Thomas, we've seen the Lord. He's alive. It's true. He is alive." And Thomas, you see, that's what people got to say in doubting Thomas. He did not believe the disciples when they told him that Jesus was alive. Because again, for them, that was nonsense. They could not conceive that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. So you have your Bibles with you, and I hope you do. If not, then just look it up in your devices. We're going to see in John, I'm reading for the NIV, chapter 20, verse 24 through following. Now Thomas, called Didymus, that's the NIV says Didymus. You have the ESV says twin. That's what the word means. He was a twin. Thomas, a twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told them, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them, though the doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. A week later, after Jesus resurrected from the grave, Peter, James, John, and the other apostles told Thomas, we have seen Jesus. He's alive. And Thomas, like many of us, he refused to believe his friends. He refused to believe their accounts. He said, I would not believe. You know Thomas, do you? Perhaps you and I can relate to him. We all face doubts in our own lives. And you know, we all deal with this thing that we call doubt. Like I said, he's known as Doubting Thomas. Doubt, according to the definition of Webster, is defined as to be uncertain about something, to believe that something may not be true or is unlikely, to have no confidence in someone or something. When you say, well, I doubt that that's going to hold. I doubt that that's really going to, you know, my brakes are really bad. I doubt that they, you know, I don't want to drive on them. You doubt that they will keep you or they will stop you when you need to. Uncertainty, that's what doubt. So Thomas is doubting. I mean, he doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He did not even believe his friends with whom he's been hanging out for about 3 years. He was one of the 12. He followed Jesus. I mean, to me, it just doesn't make sense. There's so many things in the Bible. You read it and it's just like, it just doesn't make sense. And then you keep on reading those areas, those passages, and then they make sense. Look, Thomas, 3 years hanging out with Jesus. He saw Jesus turn the water into wine. He saw Jesus heal people. He saw Jesus resurrect somebody from the grave, and yet when Jesus Christ said, I'll be back, I resurrected, he did not believe it. He doubted. For 3 years, he heard Jesus teach and preach, and for 3 years, he saw the miracles that Jesus, you know, he was on the boat when Jesus calmed the storm, and the disciples say, don't you care that we're about to drown? And Jesus get up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. And they were asking themselves, who is this? That even the waves and the sea, he commands and they obey. He was there. A week later, after the resurrection of Jesus, I don't know where Thomas was, but he wasn't in the house. The disciples, he comes and said, we have seen the Lord. He says, I would not believe that. Stop playing. Because in Thomas' doubt, his doubt is based on this, like dead people do not rise from the dead. Sorry. You know, you can say whatever you want, but Thomas said, like, I was there. I seen what happened. I know what they did to him. That's why he gives you the specific. He says, unless I see the nail marks, and he just didn't want to see. He wanted to touch. I always tell people, be careful what you ask for. Unless I see the nail marks, and I put my finger in the side. Remember, when Jesus was on the cross, they wanted to see if he was dead, and they pierced the side, which the Bible says that from the wound came water and blood. Blood and water. And so Thomas now says, I got to see that. I got to just touch it. And then I will believe. See, Thomas, like I said, he's been hanging out with Jesus. And you get glimpses of him through the Gospel of John. The first time you're introduced to him is in John 11, 16. Thomas speaks here. Jesus is going to Bethany. That's where Lazarus used to live, and he heard that Lazarus passed away, so he's going to Bethany. The disciples did not think it was wise for Jesus to go there because before they wanted to stone him. So Jesus is going back to the town. So Thomas said, he said these words in John 11, verse 16, let us also go with him that we may die with him. So Thomas understood that going to where Jesus wanted to go meant those people are going to kill us. But he wants to go. Let us go with him, that we might die with him. That's the first time that you hear Thomas talk in the Gospel of John. The second time is in chapter 14 when Jesus tells the disciples plainly what was about to happen. 14 starts like this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trusting in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would never told you. I'm going then to prepare a place. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come back and get you so that where I am, you can also be. And then Thomas says this. Just say, if I go, I'm going to come back so that where I am, you can also be. And you know the way, Jesus said. Thomas says, Lord, We don't know the way. In chapter 14 of John, Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Thomas, to me, was very logical. He asked questions where he did not know the answer about something. He wanted to know. So, I mean, yeah, Jesus, you're saying you're going, you're coming back. That's right. Now you say that we know the way? Thomas said, I don't think so. Lord, we don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? What did Jesus say? The next verse says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Then Philip later on asked questions about, show us the Father. And Jesus said, I've been with you all this time and you still do not know me. That's the Thomas we're talking about. But in our text, you see, from chapter 14 to now, he's not there when Jesus resurrected, when the disciples saw him. And, you know, they're so happy. Thomas, my friend, Thomas has some trust issues. Thomas, like I say, some of us can relate to that. I mean, perhaps you have friends, perhaps you and I may have friends, that we really have a tough time believing what comes out of their mouths. But we do have others that, if they tell us something, it's like, you know, because he or she said it, I believe that. So for some reason, Thomas did not even trust Peter, James, John, Matthew. They said, we have seen the Lord. And he said, no, stop playing. I don't believe that. That's a major trust issue. For 3 years, you guys being in this circle, and now you don't trust him? Because Thomas demanded more evidence. No, I don't believe your testimony. You know, I always think about even September 11, kids that were born in 2000, would they believe that we were attacked? I mean, they would have to believe your testimony, and now they see pictures and things. But would they say, no, I don't believe, because, you know, I wasn't there? Yeah, there were people that perhaps they would never believe that happened. Or people would have the conspiracy theory, oh, no, it was just the government. I was in the Midwest when that happened. I wasn't there. And now that I've been traveling to New York, and I realize, man, this must have been the most chaotic day in history. Because I get on the Verrazano Bridge, and I realize how traffic it is, and I just imagine that how traffic was that day, and I wasn't even here. How can I say that? Because now I get to live here, experience, and I just can't imagine what you guys went through that day. But you see, some of you were eyewitnesses. I saw that on the news. And I chose to believe the news, and I saw what, you know. But see, Thomas, he did not believe the testimony of the apostles, the best friends. I mean, hello, what? Question, why would they lie to you about this? You knew that we're all hiding here because we're afraid. Why would, we don't have any reason to lie. We have seen the Lord. Look at that. Now Thomas called the twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. Man, this is a time to celebrate. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into the side, I would not believe. Thomas wanted to become an NCIS agent. I just got to really get tangible evidence. You know, yes, you can say whatever you want. No, I got to see it. Not just see it. I got to touch it. Because maybe he's a ghost and my finger would just go through I want to see that really Jesus is alive. He did not believe. Major trust issues for him. But guess what? Like I said, you got to be careful what you ask for, because Jesus came back again a week later and Thomas was there. Like Jesus is almost saying, you want evidence? I give you evidence. All you got to do is open your eyes and here it is. He did not believe. Now, Thomas is just, I always think about it, it wasn't the fact that he just didn't believe the apostles. He did not even bother to look into the matter. Somebody comes to me and says, you know, something's happening in that street. It's like, oh yeah, whatever. But am I going to get out from my comfort zone and go seek out? Maybe that might be true. Thomas did not even care. He did not even bother to look into the story that the apostles told him. We have seen the Lord. He is alive. He just chose not to believe their testimony. You know, you and I will have people like that. They claim not to believe Jesus. They don't believe what the Bible says about him. Because, like I said, Thomas' point of view is, I saw what they did to him. That's why he said, I want to see the marks. And not just see, I want to touch. where the nails were, and I want to see the side because, you know, dead people don't come to life. I mean, it's interesting, like I said before, Thomas saw Jesus resurrect people. He was there when Lazarus came forth and still did not believe that Jesus could rise from the dead. My friends, that's why I've been telling you for a while. The apostles could not have invented the resurrection. They were not ready for that. They did not even believe in that. And so how come now we have this thing and we talk about Jesus being resurrected from the grave? If they did not believe, because they saw Jesus alive. And they hang out with Jesus and they got to see him, that he wasn't a ghost, that he was truly the Messiah. And by conquering death, he showed the whole world that all the claims of Jesus really are true in him. See, a week went by and then the disciples were all together in the house again, locked. They're still fearful. Jesus appeared and then he says, peace, shalom, peace be with you. And then Jesus singled out Thomas. I love this. I always wonder if Thomas told Peter, who of you told him that I said that? Why did you guys have to open your mouth? Who told him that I said? Jesus said, hey, Thomas, come here. See my hands. Come here. Touch him. So picture yourself in the scene right there when Jesus singled out Thomas. He said, put your finger here, verse 27. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. The word in some translation will say, stop being unbelieving and believe. And then here's the greatest confession that you will find about the Bible, about Jesus. Peter one time says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Look at the confession Thomas says, my Lord and my God. I always tell people, if Jesus wasn't God, he could have corrected Thomas and said, no, don't call me God, just the Son of, you know. My Lord and my God. You know what the word Lord means? That's the same word for Yahweh in the Old Testament, Jehovah. The same word for Lord means that it's almost like the slave picture. Like it's a master over you. We always sing about Jesus and God being our Lord, but some of us don't really give him everything to him. You know, he's our Lord, maybe. Lord, you're going to be the Lord of my finances, but I'm gonna be Lord of my house. And I'm going to be Lord of my parenting. And it doesn't work like that with Jesus. He's either Lord of everything you got, or he's not Lord at all. You know, sometimes we compartmentalize things for God. Like, help me out with this. And then I do the rest. Jesus said, bring all the things to me. Come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened and restless, and I will give you rest. But you got to give them to me. Thomas says, finally dawn on him, my Lord and my God. Why are you saying that about Jesus now? Because he conquered death. You see the evidence that he's right there in front of you, and there's no room for denial. My Lord, my Master. See, that's what David in Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. My Lord and my God, the greatest confession ever that you're going to see in the Bible about Jesus Christ. And then Jesus said these words to Thomas. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who without seeing have believed. And that includes you and I, by the way. We did not get the chance to walk with Jesus, not even Paul. We did not get the chance to hang out with Jesus and see the miracles. But we believe. Why do we believe? Because we believe the testimony of the apostles, which Thomas did not believe at the beginning. We believed what he says in his word. And there is plenty of evidence out there for the skeptics. Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You and I, my friends, we're blessed by God because we have believed Jesus to be the Son of God, to be God in the flesh, to be the Messiah that was supposed to come to the world to pay for our sins. We believe in him. We have placed our trust, our faith in him. You know, it's interesting because in chapter 17 of John, this is way before Jesus is crucified, Jesus prayed for you and I. This is really, my friend, let me just give you this. You know, like what we know as the Lord's Prayer, that's really a model prayer. Our Father who are in heaven, Jesus gave that prayer because the disciples asked him, teach us how to pray. He said, when you pray like this, my Father who are in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. For thou is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever. Amen. We usually say that at funerals. That is the model prayer. Jesus told the disciples how to pray. You know what Jesus' true prayer is? Chapter 17 of John. Write that down. Chapter 17 of John, Jesus is praying. He prayed for the apostles, for his disciples, and then he prayed for you and I. How do I know that? I'm going to show you a verse that you see that Jesus praying for everyone who will believe in him because of the apostles' message. You ready? Let me just show it to you. John 17, verse 20. Jesus said, my prayer is not for them alone. The them, in that case, he's talking about the disciples, the apostles, because he's about to leave them. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Did you get that? Did you catch that? Jesus is praying for people who will believe in Jesus because of the testimony of the apostles, and that includes you and me, my friends. People that will believe in him because of their message, because of their words, the testimony. The apostles, we can call them, they were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. They were there. They saw Jesus. They ate with Jesus. And now they're telling people, we have seen the Lord. Thomas did not believe. He wanted evidence. Jesus gave him evidence. Now we believe the accounts. We have the accounts of the apostles. They wrote. At one time, Paul said that Jesus appeared to more than 500 people. And by the time Paul wrote, some of those people were still alive, and Paul says, if you don't believe me, ask one of them, because they also seen Jesus. You know, people used to say that the whole Jesus resurrecting from the dead, was just hallucinations, that people just making up. And then they did a research, like psychological evaluation about that, and they say, there's no way that two or three people can have the same hallucination. We're talking about 500 people. So you see how that theory would just fall flat? Not even three people can have the same dream. If they had it, something's weird happening. So that's the expert. That's the scientific explanation. So now we're talking about 500 people had the same hallucination that they saw Jesus and that Jesus is alive. So that theory just doesn't hold any water. Jesus prayed for the disciples. He prayed for us so that we might believe by the testimony of the apostles. Now, my friends, do you still need more evidence to believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be? Are you still searching for more evidence because perhaps you don't believe really what's out there? Jesus is calling you and I to examine the evidence. There's a lot of evidence, even for the Bible, the manuscript. I mean, there's so many things. If you're just willing to seek it, to search for it, here's the testimony of John, the writer of the John. He's one of the 12. He's also known as the beloved disciple of Jesus. The reason the Bible calls him the beloved disciple is because, you know, in a group, you always have a buddy, a friend. John, we can say, was Jesus' buddy. It's just like Buzz and Woody. Batman and Robin type of thing, you know. So John is the writer of the gospel. He's telling the account. He also wrote three letters, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he's the author of the book of Revelation. And I love the gospel because in the gospel, he tells you and I why he wrote this account. John 20. Verse 30 through 31. This is John. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. You know what John is telling you? Jesus did many more miracles. I decided not to include him in this volume. You know, he did many other miraculous signs that you don't even know about because I did not write him down. That's my paraphrase. Jesus did many other miracles and miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not included in this volume. And then he says, but these are written so you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that by believing in him, you will have life. I mean, look what it says. But these, verse 31, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. The reason I wrote this book is that people, when they read the Gospel of John, they come to the conclusion, truly, Jesus is the Son of God. And that when you place your trust, you believe in him, you will have life. That's the end of the Gospel. And that he included chapter 21 when the disciples went fishing. This is the testimony of John, one of Jesus' best friends. In fact, John was so close to Jesus that when Jesus is hanging on the cross, Jesus' mother was there. The other disciples were hiding. John was there. And Jesus said to John, John, there's your mom. And mom, there's your son. Jesus gave his mother the care of his mom to that disciple we're talking about, John. And John says, he did many miraculous signs that I decided not to write. But the ones I chose, I did it so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in his name, you will have life. He's the writer. There's a testimony of that. And you see, my friends, another thing about Jesus, a lot of skeptics like Thomas continue to place their trust and faith in Jesus. Jesus continues to transform skeptics into disciples. See, when people had an encounter with Jesus, they were never the same. My friends, that's the same thing that will happen to us today. If we let Jesus Christ into our hearts, into our lives will never be the same. I guarantee you, because that's what he does. He's an agent of transformation. And if you let him, you will be a different person. If anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's what the scripture teaches us. So people being transformed. In 2,000 years, you see skeptics that used to believe, and they say, oh, I don't believe the Christianity. I'm going to refute it. I'm going to prove you that that's just a whole bunch of baloney. I'm going to show you with evidence. And they began to do the evidence, to search and dig into that, and then they found Jesus. People like Josh McDowell. If you hear his testimony, you can just Google, go on YouTube. He will tell you, like, man, some of the things that alcoholic father used to beat up his mom when Josh was 11. He wanted to kill his dad and didn't believe anything about Jesus. But something happened to him that transformed him from being a skeptic into somebody now that we can say is an apologetic. It's that he's one of the greatest defenders of the Christian faith. This is what Josh said. When I was a teenager, I wanted to be happy. Sounds familiar, right? I wanted my life to have meaning. I was chased by three basic questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Finally, I could come to only one conclusion, he said. If I were to remain intellectually honest, I had to admit that all the New Testament documents were some of the most reliable writings in all antiquity. And if they were reliable, what about the man Jesus, whom I had dismissed as a mere carpenter? I had to admit that Jesus Christ was more than a carpenter, that he was all he claimed to be. Not only did my research turn me around intellectually, but it also answered the three basic questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? Those questions that started me on this journey. He started on the journey because he wanted to prove that Christianity is just like, doesn't hold any water. Like, that's just made up. There are other people like Lee Strobel. If you haven't seen the movie called The Case for Christ, The Case for the Resurrection, Lee Strobel lives in Chicago. And he already made a movie based on his story, like how he went, traveled all over the world trying to find pieces. And he even went to see the actual documents of the Bible, trying to prove like, oh, that's just made up. And finally, he found Jesus through his research. And now he writes things like The Case for the Resurrection. It's almost like The Case. Josh McDowell has a book entitled Evidence That Demands a Verdict. He showed you all the evidence that you want to find out whether the Bible is true or not. Lee Strobel, how about Ravi Zechariah? I mean, I love listening to him, man. It's like he can just, you know, he gets into a debate with anybody trying to disprove Christianity. People that did not used to believe in Jesus, just like Thomas, and now their lives changed drastically. My friends, at the end of the day, you and I need to answer this question. Who is Jesus, and why do you believe in him? You see, if I were to do a survey and ask anybody here, why do you have faith in Jesus? Perhaps, if you still don't know, if you say, well, because my mom and dad go to church. That's not a very good answer. Because I was raised in that religion. That's not a very good You need to know why you believe in Jesus. Thomas finally realized, my Lord and my God. He came to that conclusion because he's seen. If you don't know why you have faith in Christ, you need to find out. Because your faith, that's what's going to get you to where Jesus is. Your faith has to be the foundation. You know, sometimes we don't even have convictions because our faith is really shallow. So think about, why is it that you believe? I believe not because my dad was a preacher and I was raised in the church. I wanted evidence too, and I saw him. And I've seen things, God doing things in my life, in life that is unquestionable, undeniable. He's alive. So I don't know what it is that he's done for you, but my friends, you and I need to wrestle with that question. Why did you even go to why do you even bother going to church, following this man that, you know, for Josh McDowell, it's a mere carpenter. Why do you even bother about Jesus? Who is he in you, in your life? And you see, I can answer that question for you. Parents, you can answer that question for your kids. They all have to come to grip to with that question, and they have to wrestle. It's like, why do I even have faith? What is faith? Do I even have faith in Jesus? Do I even believe that he's the Son of God? Do I even believe that he died and rose from the grave? John says he did many miraculous signs in the presence of the disciples, which I did not write down, but these I written so that you may believe. When you read that, you believe that he's the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you and I can have life. Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. My friends, are you still questioning Jesus? You want more evidence? We all doubt one time or another. Even John the Baptist doubt. Go seek out the evidence. Don't believe me just because I'm telling you. The evidence is out there. There's people that have been transformed. How is it that they can be like atheists and now they're like apologists? They're people that defend the Christian faith. That doesn't make sense unless that they had an encounter with Jesus. You have an encounter with Jesus and your life will change drastically for the better. Even when the trials and tribulations come, you will still have power. And people, the world will not understand that. That's only Jesus Christ working in us. He's alive, and he's still transforming life even to this day. After 2,000 years, people tried to stop Christianity in the first century, and all they had to do was find the body of Jesus, and they could not stop him. And Christianity spread out, and later on, a man named Paul came along, and then they took the gospel to Rome and so many places, Spain, and even to us today, we have the documents translated in our own languages. And so that we believe without a doubt that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you see evidence after evidence of people whose lives are being transformed. So I just have one challenge for you and I. The same words that Jesus told Thomas, stop doubting and believe. And if you do not believe because you still think that you need more evidence, seek it, because it's out there. That's what those men did. And they found Jesus through finding the evidence and doing the research. My research concluded me, they said, that Jesus Christ is truly who he claimed to be. And he was able to answer my question. You know, why am I here? Why? Who am I? You know, people even in our society, they don't even know if they're female or male sometimes. They don't even know who they are. Jesus Christ said, you want to know who you are? Let me in your life, and I showed you. Where am I going? Sometimes we just like stressed out because the future. You don't have to worry about that because he knows where you're going. And he shows you the map, the GPS for life. So whenever you get out of track, he will recalculate you. So you know exactly what he expects of you and I. Jesus Christ, man, is Lord. He overcame death so that you and I can have life and life now more abundantly. The praise team is going to come and they're going to sing the song of invitation. And if you're here today and you still don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we're going to give you the opportunity to let him into your life as the praise team make their way into the sanctuary. I'm going to be in the front as they sing. If you need prayer, whatever it is that you need here this morning, I'm going to be available. We can pray for you. We can pray with you. And if you just want to make a decision for the Lord, you know that you're looking for more evidence, I can show you where you can go to find him. You know, I can point you in the right direction if you want more evidence about why the Bible is true, who is Jesus, all that stuff. I can show you where to go look for that. Let's all stand up, and I'm going to pray, and then they will sing the song. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for your word. Father, thank you, Jesus, that you rose from the grave victoriously, and you have shown us what to have life is all about. Thank you because we know that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to heaven except through you. Thank you for the testimony of Thomas and John and those people, and even scholars today like Rabbi Zechariah, Lord, continue to bless their ministry because they go all over the world telling people that Jesus Christ truly is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Lord, we all have a testimony that we can tell others how you have transformed our lives. May we never be ashamed. May we tell other people how you have changed our lives so that they also get to believe in you. Father, thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here today. And Lord, if there's anybody here today struggling with doubts, show them the evidence. Open their eyes, open their ears, and it's really their hearts so that they can seek you out and find you, because you promise that those who seek you will find you. All glory and honor is yours. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Amen.